Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Chemnitz Church. To all who are here in person, all who are watching live online via our streaming service on our catch-up service, we're so glad to have you join us for worship today. A few intimations at the start of our time today. A reminder that after worship today, there'll be a time to gather here in the sanctuary for a time of prayer. A time of prayer will be held after worship today. So if you're able to stay and join for that, it's a very low-pressure event, just a time to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ for a time of worship. You are very welcome to stay and join for that. Been asked to announce as well that on the 2nd of February, the 2nd of February will be the next meeting of our steering group for Group 3 for our Presbytery plan of Benihee Parish Churches Together. This is, as I said, the 2nd of February, and it'll be at 7:30 p.m., and I think it's likely to be held at Kintore Church, but that location will be confirmed closer to the time, and an agenda for the evening on the 2nd will be forthcoming. The next meeting of the Good Morning Group will be on Tuesday, the 7th of February, so mark your diaries for that event as well. That'll be at 10 a.m. in the Church Center on the 7th of February, and the talk and the discussion will focus on traditions, and all are welcome. And I'm wondering if there's going to be any music from Fiddler on the Roof to start with that. Never know. Never know. A reminder as well, a very important reminder, that next Sunday, the 29th of January, there'll be a joint service of worship at Clooney Church. At Clooney Church. So if we're having a joint service of worship, is there any worship happening in Chemnay? Very good. So, no worship here in person next Sunday, but we'll have a joint service at Clooney. And please, if you're able, please consider coming along to join with our brothers and sisters in Christ from our neighboring churches for a time of worship and fellowship afterwards. So again, that's next Sunday at Clooney Church. That is a great question. I want to say yes. Let me look real quick, talk amongst yourselves. Let's see. Come on. Oh, good. It doesn't say. I'll get confirmation, but I think it is probably 10 o'clock. But if that changes, we'll put it up on the church Facebook page and spread that information. But I'll get confirmation of the time. Sorry, I don't have that information. So with us shared, let us pause our minds. Let's try to quiet our hearts as we listen for the Holy Spirit in our midst, as we prepare to enter into worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and let us worship God with singing our first hymn of praise, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you.
full confession, during the song I sent a WhatsApp to the other ministers asking for the time of the service. So if they ping back at me, I know they're on their phones as well, and I'll say if they ping in and give us information about the time. Let us pray. Lord of all light and salvation, you are the stronghold of our lives. We come today to worship you. Lord, your light is shining in the darkness. You give us your hope. And today, we walk in your light. By faith, we know that your light can never be extinguished. And we are grateful for your light, which shines on our path, which shows us the way forward in the path of discipleship and of following Jesus. Loving Heavenly Father, almighty and powerful one, whose kingdom has come near in Jesus, we gather before you today. Lord Jesus, light of the world, you who stepped down into darkness, who came and lived among us, we come to sit before you today. Holy Spirit, you breathe life into each of us. You give us each day that we have. Your wisdom and your guidance help us to follow your leading in the way of holiness. We gather in your presence today. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you invite us into your life. You invite us into faith, into hope, into love. Use this time, we pray, of worship. Use this time to form us, to shape us, to console us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to deepen us, to make us in every way more and more like Jesus. Loving God, you have given us everything we need to live lives of faith. You sustain us in every moment of our lives. And yet we confess it all too often. We let our brokenness and our sin get the best of us. We express our sorrow for the times when we say one thing and do another. We express our sorrow for the times when you call to us and we choose not to follow. We confess to you, Lord, that sometimes we don't want to listen to your Spirit. We don't want to respond to your call because we're scared of where it may lead. We're scared of what you may ask us to do. As we confess our brokenness and the times that we do not want to follow, we ask, Lord, that you would pick us back up. You would fill us again with your Holy Spirit. And as you called the fishermen to leave their nets and follow you, help us to follow you with the same spirit of faith, to go in new directions, to follow in the way of discipleship, so that we may be transformed and made whole. And in the next few moments of silence, Lord, we do confess those things, those areas of brokenness and sin which trouble us most. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Jesus. And it is he who intercedes for us before the Father. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And our sin is removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And so, under the authority of Jesus Christ, I declare to you, by faith, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now it's time for our children's song. And any children present are free, and any adults wish to come along as well, for that matter, are free to make their way after the children's song over to the Kemeny Church Center for the next session of Fantastic Families. So we sing together now. Stand up, clap hands.
Today's reading is taken from 1 Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thanks, Suzanne. I got a text back. 10 a.m. 10 a.m. next Sunday at Clooney Church. Okay. My thanks to, well, I shouldn't name who it was actually, never mind. We continue in worship with the next hymn of praise, What Wondrous Love Is This? Let us pray. Lord, as we pause now to reflect on the meaning and the power of your word together, as we have heard these words from Ephesians, may these words of Scripture permeate our minds, our hearts, and our souls. And may the words of my mouth, and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who place trust in you. Amen. So today we're continuing with this series on Ephesians. I remember back when I was in university, one of my professors, Jim Edwards, he was my Greek, New Testament, world religions, and Hebrew teacher. He got around. He said that Ephesians is the gospel in miniature. Ephesians is the gospel in miniature. I remember one whole semester, 3 or 4 months, we spent in our Greek class translating Ephesians from verse 1 of chapter 1 to the end of chapter 6, just poring over this book, unpacking it slowly. And the whole experience for me was a revelation, right? That such a small letter had so much to say to us about the gospel and about the meaning of the Christian life. And so we're unpacking Ephesians now. We're taking our time with it. And I will admit that going forward with a series style like we've maybe become accustomed to here in Chemnay, It maybe gets a little more complicated with our monthly rotation of ministers coming in and out, but that's not a reason not to do it. And we'll forge ahead with the series as best as we can. And the good thing is, even if it's a week or two between sermon series, we're streaming, we're recorded, you can always go back and catch up as well. So during the first sermon on this letter to the Ephesians, which was broadcast here in the church, I asked a question: what is really, anybody remember? What's really real? In this letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, I think, is offering us an alternative and a truer view of reality. He's offering us what is a Christ-centered view of reality. And as Christians, by faith, we know that this is what is really real. Jesus Christ, Him crucified and risen. This is the basis of our faith. And at the start of this letter, we heard the last time that Paul seems to be quite focused on the location of those to whom he is writing. This letter, like many of his other letters, says to the saints in such and such place, to the saints in Rome, to the saints in Philippi, to the saints in Ephesus. I think Paul would have made a good realtor. Location, location, location. We've all heard that phrase, right? Yeah. Where we are shapes who we are. We're all shaped by where we live, by what we do, by our relationships, and in turn, we also shape the world around us, don't we? I think that's a big part of what it means to be made in the image of God, by the way. This divine image that we, as the image bearers of God, continue to shape and even, in some way, create the world around us. And when it comes to our faith, it's an interesting dynamic. In one sense, when it comes to Christian faith, our location shouldn't matter, right? It's the same gospel should be preached anywhere and everywhere. At the same time, though, because we're human beings, because we're finite, because we are what we are, our location also does matter. But it's not all about the physical location. Right from the very start, Ephesians tells us that when it comes to reality, what is really real, there's much more than meets the eye. And Paul, in this letter, wants us to realize that where we think or feel we are located is not always the whole story. There's more going on. So, when Paul writes from, he's in Rome, by the way, when he writes this letter. More specifically, he's in jail in Rome when he writes this letter. He writes to his friends in Ephesus to help them realize that as Christians, they're rooted where they're at, but they also live elsewhere as believers. And the view from this other location that Ephesians talks about is truly spectacular. And he opens up this truth by talking about the heavenly realms. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, who has blessed us, where? In the heavenly realms. In the heavenly realms, he says. Right? This is what Paul is talking about. It said he's in Rome. His friends are in Ephesus. His friends are in all kinds of circumstances they're facing. Some good, some tough, some happy, some sad. But Paul's reminding them that this is not the only place where you truly live as believers. You're also, even now, also rooted in the heavenly realms in Christ. This is true for us as well. Now note, we need to be careful though here. This isn't saying that we're somehow transported out of the here and the now, out of our lives into a life of bliss necessarily. We continue to live where we're at on one hand. On the other hand, we also have this rooting in the heavenly realms with the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. We live in all kinds of life circumstances. And this passage from Ephesians that says, what is really real? Where are we truly rooted in our lives? It's not about turning a blind eye to our situations. It's not about living in a sense of denial. This is often an accusation that I think Christians receive, is that, you know, we live this overly happy view of life. We turn a blind eye to the pain of the world. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul knows better than any of us, perhaps, how hard life can be. He endured countless hardships for the sake of the gospel. And never once did he live in denial about these things. But he knew there was something greater as well out there. Instead of reminding us of our true home, of these heavenly realms, Paul's reminding us that wherever we are, whatever we're experiencing, good, bad, happy, unhappy, joyful, painful, we are also in the heavenly places in Christ. I keep repeating this phrase, in the heavenly realms, the heavenly places in Christ, where we are truly rooted. I repeat this over and again because if you're anything like me, and Heather would attest to this, it's easy to lose direction, especially when driving. It's easy to forget where we are really located. Yeah. We wake up each day, look at our newspapers, turn on our phones, our tablets, our televisions. We watch the news of the day, and we're bombarded with information. We're bombarded with stories. We see so much about the hardship and pain of the world. It's easy to lose sight of the heavenly places. I remember some years ago reading some of C.S. Lewis's writing, and of course C.S. Lewis lived during both the First and Second World War, and he made the remark, as a devout Christian, how easy it is for the violence and the darkness of the world to make us lose sight of the kingdom of God. We must hold fast to it. We must remember, as Paul writes in his opening verse in Ephesians, that we are blessed in the heavenly realms in Christ. We are rooted in the reality of Jesus and who is really real. And I think this kind of passage from Ephesians reminds us that as Christians in this life, we have one foot in the here and now and one foot in these heavenly realms of blessing in Jesus Christ. So in other words, as Christians, we're not exactly supposed to expect a comfortable and tranquil life. Sometimes as Christians, we have to live a life of tension. Elsewhere in Scripture, we are told to live as foreigners and strangers in the world. And I think it's partially because we have not our true home here, but our true home is in the heavenly realms, in heaven, with Jesus, with all the saints, and with the angels. The heavenly realms is where we're supposed to be truly based. And in our westernized view of the world, most people have, I think, what could be called a two-dimensional view of reality. A lot of folks today will say there's two major dimensions. There's the ego, the self, the person. And then there's also the physical universe and other human beings, perhaps, right? This is essentially the psychological, materialistic view of the world. And we're told that everything around us, everything we ever experience, can be explained with these two dimensions in mind, with the ego and with the material world. Well, pardon me for saying this, but that's a rather impoverished view of reality. And for the authors of the Bible, and for Paul in particular, reality is at least four-dimensional. There's at least two more. There's the self and the environment. That's two. And then there's the heavenly places. And then there's the living God as well. The Bible insists that we are not being hard-nosed realists. unless we factor in the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these heavenly realms that are our true home. But the truth of the matter is that this reduced view of the world, just ourselves, the material world, it doesn't satisfy, does it? The reality is that even if human beings were capable of creating utopia here on Earth, the jury's out on that one, I think, what would happen eventually? We're mortal. It wouldn't last. The only true and lasting hope we have is in Jesus Christ and being rooted in Him and the reality of our heavenly citizenship. We cannot really make sense of our lives without this deeper sense of reality that Paul is talking about in this opening of Ephesians. Drawing again from C.S. Lewis, this is why he used to say that, contrary to popular opinion, those with heaven on the mind are no earthly good. We've heard that before, haven't we? Yeah. Well, he refuted that, and he would claim that those with heaven on their minds are of the most earthly good, if we understand it properly. Right? If we truly pray with an earnest heart, your kingdom come, your will be done. Because those who live on earth, who have heaven on their minds, Paul tells us, have a more accurate view of reality. Location, location, location. It matters where we are at. Where are our minds and our hearts today? Are we only rooted in the here and now? Or are we also grounded and planted in the reality of Jesus Christ, the blessings He offers us in the heavenly realms? Where is our true identity? Where's our true citizenship? We could be based like Paul was in Rome, like his hearers in Ephesus. We could be based in Echt, Midmar, Chapel of Geary, Blair Daff, Cluny, Money Musk, Kintore, and Kemne, in all kinds of circumstances. But by grace, we are also rooted in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in these heavenly places. At the outset of this letter, Paul is trying to ground us in what is really real. And navigating to this true location, to our true home, with its spectacular views, with its endless promises of hope, joy, redemption, life everlasting. This is what the rest of the letter of Ephesians is all about. As we go into another week, what will be our foundation? I hope we'll each take time to pray this week that God will open our eyes to the world around us. But even more than that, that God would open our eyes to our true home, to our true identity. That God would keep us rooted, come what may, in these heavenly places in Christ. And as believers, may we live into this reality. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue in worship now with singing together, Just As I Am.
Lord, we come to you with heavy hearts. We live in such difficult times. Climate change, with droughts, then floods, and reduced food production as a result. Families torn apart by the loss of their homes and family members. Even in wealthy countries such as the United States, in California, and in Australia, as well as small islands and the Far East, we are suffering. We live in times of political upheaval. South America, where countries are shutting down, the African states, where people are rebelling and angry at their governments, and in China, where repression still continues. In Ukraine, we have the ongoing suffering of the war that Russia has imposed, and both countries are suffering as a result. Here in the UK, where our trust in our leaders is failing, we all suffer because of these global events. We have food shortages and rising costs of food and rising fuel costs. So many people who are in employment cannot afford to buy enough food or keep warm. We pray for these families and individuals. We pray that the power companies will listen to the government and produce practical support for the families, especially in terms of their prepayment meters. In our local community, we pray for families in distress, families grieving for lost family members. We pray that they may be given continuing strength to cope with their loss. We pray for those who are ill, in pain, or waiting for important test results. We pray that they may be given strength to cope with whatever results may appear. We pray that our hearts and minds will always be open to pleas for help and advice, and that we may respond as well as we can. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. We now sing our closing hymn, song of praise, When Upon Life's Billows.
Thank you.
as we go forth from this place today, may the Lord keep us rooted in what is really real. May we remain grounded in the heavenly realms of blessing with Jesus Christ. May we live into our true identity as his followers and his disciples. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore.